Louise McSharry on 2FM.
With Cadbury Brunch. When you need a proper break, brunch.
Now, as you know, every Sunday morning for this section of the show, we talk about the pop culture stories of the week. And there is lots to discuss today. And I am joined by pop culture icon, Esther O'Moore Donoghue. Are you happy to be a pop culture icon?
Absolutely, yeah. This is the first time anyone said it to me, but I'm going to take it. Yeah.
Yank that microphone right up to your mouth there. Sorry.
Hello.
We're having interesting microphone experiences today.
Can we hear the icon now? The iconic voice?
Flawless, iconic.
Wonderful.
So there's a lot going on in the world of pop culture this week.
Mate, there's a lot going on. I mean, where do we start? We go with Jada Pinkett Smith.
Yes, let's talk about Jada Pinkett Smith.
If you're not aware, she has these Red Table Talks. It's a huge setup in her house. And Jada likes to talk and have open conversation and communication about different issues. Yeah. Jordan Woods. She went there to tell her side of the story.
You'll remember this was the whole drama where Kylie Kardashian's best friend reportedly had a liaison / affair with her sister, Kylie's sister Khloe's baby daddy.
Anyway, so now Jada is in the hot seat because there was a story during the week that she'd had an affair with a man called August Alsina, and it turns out that it's not just a rumor, it's true. And they talked about that. Will and Jada had a conversation about this at the Red Table. They, you know, Jada was just wearing her pair of slides, an oversized shirt, just to show that she was in it. Yeah. And they just had this dialogue, this conversation. Will was very relaxed and they said they worked through it. At the time, they were on a break. They were separated. Their marriage was over, according to them. So it wasn't that Will had given her permission, as it had been reported, and Jada took offence to that. But they were not together. Will was aware of this affair and they just wanted to clear it up and have their little conversation and chit-chat about it.
Yeah, because the thing about it is that this guy, August, he's a rapper and he was doing press for something else, wasn't he? And he basically said, look, like, yeah, I had a relationship with Jada. I loved her. Will gave it his blessing. They weren't, they had decided to be partners and not really romantic at the time. But there's always been this chat about Will and Jada and, like, this idea that they had an unusual, an open relationship, which, of course, now we're a lot more familiar with that as a concept. But, you know, the rumors started a long time ago when we weren't so familiar.
Well, I think when the rumors were happening, the rumors were true at the time, but then they obviously were in the middle of it, so they're not going to talk about it. But now they've got that distance, they're kind of sharing their story and it's all coming out in the wash. And then there's, you know, Margot Robbie was trending on Twitter, so people are like, did something happen between Will and Margot? Because at the end of the interview, Will and Jada said, oh, you got me back. And so they're like, is that some reference to an affair with someone else that he had as well? So that hasn't come out yet.
But then they're not really affairs if they weren't together.
Let's
have a listen to, anyway, the conversation between Jada and Will.
I think you need to say clearly what happened.
Yeah, and then I got into an entanglement with August. That's what I said.
An entanglement?
Yes. Yes.
A relationship?
Yes. It was a relationship.
It's her language.
You say entanglement, I say full-blown relationship. I mean, it's true.
I mean, it was a long relationship. It was, I think it was like 18 months or 2 years.
Yeah, so they were in it. And then, whatever, at the same time, she obviously was trying to reconcile with Will because then she got rid of August and, you know, they obviously got back together. But in terms of the reach of this interview, it apparently smashed Facebook watches. I mean, have we ever heard of Facebook watch before? But Facebook watches, figures for 24 hours, I don't know, whatever, blah, blah, blah. So basically loads of people watched it. So, I mean, it's working for them, these confessionals and whatever, and people are interested in the relationship because there is this kind of, there's always been chatter around their marriage and what's going on.
Yeah.
And, you know, for a while, were they Scientologists? Were they this? Were they that? Is it an open marriage? You know, there was rumours, is Jada gay?
Yeah.
So anyway, we know for certain that she had an affair with August. So.
The thing about it is that because she has started this thing which is all about accountability and coming to the red table and being open and honest, like, she now can't get away with anything.
Yeah.
Like, she's gonna have to, anything that ever comes out, she's gonna have to confront. And I do respect them for you know, having an open and frank conversation about it, because, you know, I think the beginning, middle, end, happily ever after story of monogamy is not necessarily accurate for most people's experience of it. And the sooner we talk about the different ways that relationships work, the better it'll be for everyone.
I think so. And you think, if you look at these relationships, especially with celebrities and things, you kind of idealize them and they're perfect and it's glossy, whatever. Mm. But they've shown that they have been through their ups and downs, even though they live in a stunning house and they've loads of money and they have all those comforts and, you know, accessibility to different things and power. But they're still working through it. And
yeah, let's talk about the band formerly known as Lady Antebellum. This story is truly, it's so grim.
Yeah, Lady Antebellum. Ye olde bandy, Lady Antebellum. Yeah, so they announced that they'd be changing their name to Lady A due to the slavery connotations with Lady Antebellum. And
yeah, Antebellum is kind of representative of a particular time in the South, which is often romanticized by people in the South in America.
Yeah, and then the South became very rich based on the slave, because of the slave trade. Yeah. So as a result of all that's been going on, they announced they're going to change the name. However, there's already an artist called Anita White who already goes under Lady A, and it's been her brand for over 20 years. And Lady Antebellum started in 2006, or started using Lady Antebellum in 2006. So she's had it longer.
And it's worth mentioning that this is a 61-year-old black female musician.
Correct.
Who
Correct.
Has been using this name for 20 years.
For 20 years. So so this came to light. They were having conversations and dialogues behind the scenes with Anita White. And then on the 16th of June, they tweeted, "Today we connected privately with the artist Lady A. Transparent, honest and authentic conversations were had." You know, very classic stuff, right? "The hurt is turning into hope. More to come." So, you know, this is great. They've got, it's all going to work out in the end. However, things have changed, and they are now taking suing Anita White for use of the name Lady A and for copyright infringement. It's like, read the room.
How can you be like, "Do you know what, guys? Our name, in the context of everything that's happening, we're all learning, we're all progressing. Our name is not right anymore. Yeah. We need to show more respect to black people and to black history than using Antebellum. Let's change our name to Lady A. Oh wait, there's actually a black woman has been using this name for 20 years. Mm-hmm. No, don't worry guys, we're having a conversation with her. Oh, the conversation didn't go the way we wanted, so now we're going to sue her." Like, it's demented. What planet are they on?
Yeah, they're, I don't know. Yeah, it just seems so odd. Like, I mean, maybe their legal advisors have kicked in some, there is some copyright infringement, that's what they're claiming. And they're also saying that Anita White has been advised by people who are now demanding $10 million payment. Again, none of this is something that they should be bringing up. It's just not playing well. Let her have her name. She's been using it longer than you. She wins. That's the end of it.
It's not a good look.
It's not.
If she hadn't been using it longer than them, like, just, if you think that you are doing something in order to respect black people, black history and black rights, and then in doing so, you essentially crush a black woman, then you're doing it wrong, guys. Like, you are just doing it wrong. Okay, we've got lots more to talk about. We have to talk about Jess Glynn and the sexy fish. And then we need to talk about the letter that Harper's printed, which did not go down well. And of course, unfortunately, we have to mention what's going on with poor Naya Rivera, formerly of Glee. That's all coming up after this.
Louise McSherry on 2FM.
With Cadbury Brunch. When you need a proper break, brunch.
That is Cece Penton, and finally on 2FM. I thought we deserved a little bit of a classic bop this morning. Esther O'Moore Donoghue is here. We are talking popular culture, and I suppose we better just mention the absolutely tragic thing that's happening with Naya Rivera, who of course was Santana in Glee. And they're searching for her, but they think it's a recovery mission at this point, don't they, Esther?
Naya Rivera, she's only 33. She went missing. She was reported she went missing on Wednesday at Lake Pirie in California. And yeah, it's just tragic. I mean, there's video surveillance. You can see she went for it's like a pleasure craft. You can go out into this lake and, you know, just boat around in the sun. And she went there with her 4-year-old son. And, you know, I think the people who hired out the boats, they went looking for her because she didn't come back the allotted time. And her son was found sleeping on the boat. She wasn't there. So they've been searching for her since then. And from what I've read, that, you know, there's a lot of debris. There's full trees under it. She could become entangled or she could have been caught in a whirlpool. And it's just tragic. So they're still searching and they're looking at it like it's a recovery mission.
Yeah.
But it's just so sad.
So sad, and so sad for her son.
Yeah,
I can only imagine what he's been through.
It's awful. So
I actually can't think about it too much. It's very painful to even think of her poor son in that situation.
Yeah.
Hopefully they find her soon, and the family can try and, you know, grieve properly.
It's hard.
Now, in much more like superficial and kind of ridiculous news, Jess Glynn had a, I don't know what you would call it, a conflict with a fancy restaurant during the week.
There was a fancy expensive restaurant in London. She went in her tracksuit bottoms and I'm sure they were worth, they were like pretty Gucci down to the socks. You know, she probably was just head to toe Gucci and they probably cost a small fortune. But she went in, she wanted her expensive sushi. There was a dress code at Sexy Fish London, which is no sportswear, no beachwear, ripped jeans, flip-flops, sliders or workout trainers. However, brackets, smarter fashion trainers permitted. And Jess got in a bit of a strop that they wouldn't let her in. She wasn't adhering to the dress code. But then she, of course, like a Wally, went on Instagram and kind of said how, you know, she felt. And she felt upset that she didn't get in. Now, fair enough, if the person at the door in the restaurant, it's not nice on a human level. If they were rude to her and really mean and they were snooty, and that's not nice, it's really a way to handle it. But
I think it's the fact that she used the word discrimination.
Yeah, like there's,
and people were like, really, really, Jess?
Yeah.
Really? In July 2020,
again,
you're going to complain about discrimination because you didn't get to go and eat your expensive sushi?
Yeah, just in her bubble, took to Instagram and people dragged her, of course. Just like, you know, again, have you read a paper? Do you know what's going on in the world? So a bit of an overreaction on Jess Glynn's part. And she's kind of, what else could she do? She put her hands up and she's like, yeah, I'm sorry. And she was retweeting a meme someone did the other day, like, oh, I've got a good sense of humor, I get it. you know, I'm cool. But I think it was funny when she said she didn't get into Sexy Fish, but she was like, I went to whatever the other restaurant was. They greeted me, my friend, with pure joy. And we had a banging meal with wicked service. It's like, imagine them just like, it's Jess Glynn! She's finally here! In her Gucci tracksuit bottoms. It's like, pure joy.
Pure joy.
At seeing Jess Glynn. She's got a set of pipes, but like, I mean, I don't know. So,
Esther, I just need to ask you one question. Uh-huh. Could you ever go to a restaurant called Sexy Fish?
Sexy Fish London.
I don't know if I could bring myself.
I could probably go, but I was trying to make the arrangements with someone. Yes. Where do you want to go for dinner? Do you want to go to Sexy Fish? What? Do you want to go to Sexy Fish? What? Sexy Fish. Do you want to go to Sexy Fish?
It's a Sexy Fish, okay? Yeah, I don't know if I could get there personally.
Yeah, no. Leave your sliders at home if you want to go to Sexy Fish. So.
One joyful silver lining of the Sexy Fish debacle is the fact that the Fish Love campaign has come to the front again. I actually had totally forgotten about this.
I wasn't even aware of this. And I first saw this picture of, there was a picture during the week, Grant Tucker, a writer with the Sunday Times, he put an image of Gillian Anderson with a conger eel around her, let's just say.
Conger eel.
On her knocker. She was naked. She had them draped, her, looking seductive. And fair enough. And I actually ignored it. And then I went back and I clicked in later and I was like, there are a series of images of like a certain type of English actor, kind of posh, white, with just like dead fish on them. It's so odd. Helena Bonham Carter with a giant tuna cradling it. We had Sir Mark Rylance with a smooth hound shark. Like
Miriam Margulies with a dead John Dory.
I liked Christopher Biggins with the octopuses on his back. He was kind of like on his tummy, like doing tummy time, like a little baby, and had little octopuses on his back. And that was, and he was kind of like kicking his, that was a good one. I like that one. Fiona Shaw with a rubus snapper. What is a rubus snapper? I don't know. And Dame Judi Dench posing naked with lobsters at night for a twist.
I mean, that, I just, anything that Dame Judi Dench does, I'm on board. But it was, of course, an awareness campaign. To raise awareness for the dangers of overfishing. And can I just say, whoever was behind this campaign is clearly very well connected.
Yeah, because they're all, I'd say these all probably went to Oxford. They're all posh.
Yeah.
And they were happy to pose with dead fish on their naked bodies. One thing I've learned as well, I didn't know Emma Thompson was a dame. She's a dame too.
She's a great dame too. What a dame.
We have two dames and a sir and Christopher Biggins. So yeah, but now are we going to think more about destructive fishing practices? Well, we're talking about it now, so yeah.
That's it, Esther.
Yeah.
Succeeded. Now, let's talk about the Harper's letter because this was a big furore online this week.
Yeah, now Harper's Mag, going from something completely different. Harper's Mag, it's a monthly magazine of literature, politics, culture, finance and the arts. It was launched in New York City in June 1850, for those of you who do not know. I did not know this. And it's the second oldest continuously published monthly magazine in the US.
Yeah, I didn't know this either, because when everyone was talking about Harper's Bazaar. Like Harper's Bazaar, but no, it's a different magazine.
It's Harper's, it's a different magazine. And so there'll be a letter... Maybe it won't be. It'll be a letter appearing in its letter section of the magazine's October issue. And it had 150 cultural luminaries warning of a growing intolerant climate. And the people who signed this letter, 150 of them, included J.K. Rowling. She's been in the news lately. Noam Chomsky. And Salman Rushdie. And let's just say there's a little bit of a backlash against it. So, you know, people are saying that it doesn't look at who holds power and who has access to publish certain stories. And yeah, they have just been dragged through it. And I think people who signed the letter, I was thinking, like, I've been in a few WhatsApp groups. Was this some fancy WhatsApp group? People are like, we're writing this letter. Do you want to put your name on it?
Or like Gal Gadot ringing up people to get them to do the Imagine video.
Exactly. This is the literary, Gal Gadot. I would have said Gal Gadot. I don't know what her... See, that's, you've taught me something as well. Gal Gadot...
I know it sounds wrong, but I believe that is actually the correct pronunciation. It's to do with she's Israeli, and apparently that's Anyway, I know it sounds wrong. Like,
no,
I'm aware,
like Chrissy Teigen.
Exactly. Esther. Look, we all struggle.
Let's not open that can of worms.
No,
again.
Let's not. I suppose the thing about this is a lot of the people who signed the letter have come out since and said, "Whoa! I hadn't read the letter. It doesn't say what I thought it would say, because it's a nuanced conversation. There are people coming out and saying, like, cancel culture is wrong. And, like, I don't like cancel culture, but it's not, they're kind of trying to make things a black or white and white issue. They would say it's an argument for free speech, but free speech doesn't actually mean you can say whatever you want, because you can't, you know, be hateful and expect people to accept it. It is nuanced, and the letter is not. And I think that's why people take great issue with it.
Yeah, and like one of the points made in the letter was that editors are fired for running controversial pieces, and this could be a reference to James Bennett being fired. He's a former opinion editor from the New York Times when he published that letter from a U.S. senator who was basically, calling for the nation's military to rise up against the American citizenry. But, you know, people are like, that's not the point. It's like that you're endangering people, and you can't
publish anything.
No,
because, you know, you have influence. Mm-hmm. And if you publish things and if you say things as a high profile person, that it's, your words have consequences and can end up with people doing crazy stuff, as we have seen over and over and over again with Donald Trump. I mean, constantly I'm seeing things like, I saw a story this week of a person in America who was spouting all the stuff that Donald Trump and his ilk were spouting about the coronavirus, and he ended up dying of the coronavirus.
Yes.
And like, that's the reality of people who are able to just say whatever they want, whether it's true or not, and build a climate of distrust of the media and of science and of, you know, everything that we rely on to get, you know, accurate information, is that people then end up in unsafe situations. So we can't just let people say whatever they want.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like I went a little bit off piece there. Sorry, Esther. I've been alone with my thoughts for a long time. Or certainly, I can't really discuss them with my 3-year-old and my 1-year-old.
Well, some would say you're at the same level talking to me. I mean, who knows? I'm being too self-deprecating there. But, you know, anyway, let's carry on.
Let's just finish with Ed Sheeran.
Yeah, Ed Sheeran. How many houses do you want, Ed? He's built Sheeranville. He's only 29.
Yeah.
And he's got, like, he's accumulated 27 properties since 2012.
That's a lot of property.
Worth in London, worth 57 million. Inside, within and outside London, worth 57 million. So let's just say he is rich. What is he doing? Yeah, he's got an orchard. He's got an underground this. He's got an overground this. He's got a pond that's a swimming pool. And the story is that he wants to neaten up the package of land he has by kind of getting the neighbour, you know, in a field kind of just to the back and to the right or whatever. And so they're kind of just waiting. And so they're like, this is great. This is their insurance policy or their pension. They're like, yeah, at the right time, we're going to sell the house to Jed and just, you know, make a fortune. So, yeah, he's got his own little, it's like his own little oasis. It's he's got his own pub. And
heaven forbid one person should remain in the house that they've lived in for years and years and years.
I know, what Eddie wants, Eddie gets. So
if it's somewhat near young Ed Sheeran.
Yeah.
You wonder how much he personally is actually involved in this kind of stuff. Like, is it him? Is it his team? Maybe it is him. I don't know. He already got into trouble because he claimed that this lake was already controversial because mm-hmm. he said it was actually like a wildlife reserve. And then people looked at it and looked at the plans and were like, that's a swimming pool.
Yeah, I mean, he wants it. It's kind of a really kind of tasteful swimming pool, but that's the only way he can get around it is by saying it's got newts and stuff in it. But I don't think if you look at it from the sky and the aerial drone shots, which is weird in itself that someone has gone up in a drone and looked at his real private property. But he wants to expand his empire. He's worth 200 million and he's probably going to do it. So yeah, good for it.
What a time we are living in, Esther. Truly, it's a bizarre time. Thank you so much for guiding us so adeptly through those stories. Esther O'Moore Donoghue. Esther, where can people find you?
Esther Two Names on Instagram.
And tell us about your podcasts.
My podcast, the 80% podcast, where I'm 80% happy with the success of my guests. So you want general low-level resentment of people doing well, look for the 80%. And then we also have Esther's and Bits, where I talk to people who are in Bits. That's fine.
Thank you so much, Esther. Louise McSherry on 2FM. With Cadbury Brunch. When you need a proper break, brunch.